The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Latin America is not America. Latin America is a traditional society. People in Latin America are still allowed, to their great credit, to say obvious things. They haven't been trained by their leaders to censor their unapproved thoughts, so sometimes they just go ahead and utter them, as Kamala Harris found out yesterday when she arrived in Guatemala. Her motorcade was mobbed by protesters, not trying to get her autograph or buy her superhero books, but telling her to get the hell out of their country. Kamala, go home, read one placard. Another sign near the presidential palace, and this one really hurt, read this. Kamala, Trump won. Now, to a certain kind of liberal, this was shocking, and some in the press pool seemed shocked by it. But they shouldn't have been shocked. Guatemalans, of all people, know what political corruption looks like because they live in a corrupt system. And they looked up to the United States and they saw the presidential election wasn't exactly on the level, because it wasn't. They knew that all the powerful people in the U.S. were on one side, Joe Biden's side, and so they trusted the outcome less. And then they said it.
Wow, that's Tucker Carlson last night. As you well know, conservative media, they have been hesitant when it's about covering the election fraud from last November. But there's Tucker Carlson using Guatemala's reception, or lack thereof, to Kamala Harris's first foreign trip, telling her to go home and saying, oh, by the way, Donald Trump won. If Fox News comes around, if Tucker Carlson comes around and starts covering what some local outlets are covering in Arizona, in Georgia, in Nevada, in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, you're going to start to see this get quite a bit more coverage than what it's getting at the moment. We'll get to that and much more on today's show. I want to welcome all of you that are watching, perhaps for the first time, or if you're new to the show, we certainly appreciate you taking the time out of your day to watch The Trumpet Daily. I'm your host, Stephen Flurry, and if you'd like to submit some feedback, you're welcome to send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. And also, if you don't have our toll-free number, just jot this down so that you can order any and everything that we plug on this program. Keep in mind that everything we offer, all of our literature, hundreds and hundreds of articles, booklets, books, oftentimes videos, pamphlets, brochures, everything that we offer is without cost. That's the best part, without cost or obligation. That toll-free number is 1-866-930-3024. Well, tonight is the next roadshow performance for Celtic Throne. They'll be performing in Austin, Texas. If you live anywhere in the heart of Texas, don't miss tonight's show. Just go to CelticThrone.com and click on the link there that takes you right to the venue site. And there you can get tickets for tonight's show, tonight's program. The crew left early this morning, I think 5:30 a.m. All of them boarded on a bus that we rented for the production. So they're probably arriving in Austin, or will arrive sometime around the end of this this broadcast. So they'll be tuning up this afternoon with a rehearsal, and then of course tonight, 7:30, Austin, Texas, Celtic Throne takes to the road. Well, there's a lot, as I say, there's lots to get to on today's program. The border crisis that's just spiraling out of control, and of course, the fake vice president is down there really making matters worse and trying to answer softball questions that just turn out to be a disaster for her and for this administration. You have yesterday, only in the conservative media, Hunter Biden's racist remarks, of course, that he'll get a free pass for because, well, he's Hunter Biden. And so they're going to close that case just as fast as they closed the laptop It's Hunter, after all. I mean, it's the president's son. He can say the N-word. He can say racist things. He doesn't need to be canceled. You need to be canceled. Even if you're a nobody and somebody outs you from something you said 20 or 30 years ago, you might be fired. You might lose your position. You might get kicked out of this institution or that academic facility or school. But not if it's Hunter. If it's Hunter, I mean, Hunter is the smartest man that Joe Biden ever knew. That's what he said last year. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. There's other things that are more important to talk about. But to see the double standard, I mean, it's certainly there with respect to that story. Well, just coming back to what Tucker said on conservative media, as you know, with respect to these election audits, conservative outlets have remained silent for the most part. As I say, maybe last night's program is a sign that Tucker's beginning to come around. I mean, he kind of used Guatemala as a cover for saying that there might have been some corruption on November 3rd. Guatemalans know about political corruption, so they're calling it like they see it. They're not being censored. They're not being blotted out. They're not losing their social media status just because they're calling it as they see it. And so there's Tucker saying that, look, Latin America is not America. It's things you can't say here. They said it there, right as the Kamala motorcade came through the town. They know a lot about political corruption. In any event, the conservative media, they should be amplifying these stories coming out of Arizona and Georgia and so on. But they're not. It's the propaganda media that's in full-scale meltdown mode, as we've covered on this show. And of course, Rachel Maddow is leading the way. Listen to this exchange that she had with Barack Obama's former attorney general. He used to be the top law enforcement official in the United States. And listen to these two as they talk about the Arizona audit. This is clip two.
We're also seeing this, I think, unprecedented interest on the Republican side with having these partisan, third-party sort of sham audits and recounts where they are accessing real ballots and real voting machines and essentially going back over them without any of the controls that are supposed to apply to our real voting system, essentially to cast doubt on the result. Should the Justice Department, whether or not those reforms are passed, should the Justice Department be involved as a sort of backstop trying to stop any of those three components of what we're up against right now?
Yeah, I think the Justice Department has got to be involved and has to be aggressively involved. You know, that fraud that is going on in Arizona now might seem, for whatever reason, as something that Republicans want to support for short-term gain. I don't know exactly what it is, but it clearly will do long-term damage to our democracy if it raises in the minds of people in this country doubts about the effectiveness, the integrity of our electoral system.
That's kind of cute there. He came up with the term fraudit because in his mind, the recount, auditing the votes, examining the ballots, that's the fraud. November 3rd, no fraud. Perfect. But to pull the ballots out of the warehouse and to go through and examine them, that's the fraud, says Eric Holder. Eric Holder. Eric, when they go low, we kick them. Holder, Obama's attorney general. If you remember, you can find this out at our website, thetrumpet.com. But there was that story coming out of the 2008 election where the new Black Panther Party, they were videotaped intimidating voters. Do you remember this in 2008? Videotaped, they were carrying metal rods. They were hurling insults at people. They were intimidated. Some voters left because they felt threatened. And that made its way to the courts. And the Black Panthers, they just didn't even show up at court. Total disdain and disrespect for the American judicial system. And guess who didn't follow? Guess whose Department of Injustice did not follow through and actually go after that party for voter intimidation? That would be Eric Holder's, as I say, Department of Injustice. The same Eric Holder that would not cooperate with Congress when they were investigating Fast and Furious. According to this man's worldview, gang members dressed in military gear, threatening voters with iron bars, chanting racist slogans even. That's no threat to democracy. But examining ballots that sworn witnesses say are fraudulent, that somehow threatens democracy. What did he say at the end of that soundbite? If we look at these ballots and then it causes Americans to doubt the effectiveness of the election, well, that hurts democracy. It's exactly the opposite. To just shove them in the warehouse after you have all of these affidavits, people saying, yeah, those were photocopied. Those were run through the machine twice. That's what undermines democracy. And so Americans want to know. And so now you have all of these states lining up to actually view the audit counting process going on in Arizona. Why would these state reps be doing this? Leave aside the fact that they're Republicans. Why are they out front? Why would they be going to Arizona saying, well, I want to look at this process in case our state does the same? They're doing it because ordinary Americans are demanding scrutiny. They're demanding examination. They think like the people in Guatemala think. Oh, and by the way, Trump won. So let's see the ballots. 6 months. Why hasn't there been more bragging about how incredibly, almost miraculously, strong the showing was for Biden in just a few areas? I think by the end of this, we're going to find out it was miraculous, quote unquote, in a lot more than just those few cities, Atlanta, Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, Detroit, Milwaukee, and so on, Arizona. But you look at the nation as a whole and the fact that in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles, Donald Trump actually gained support in those huge cities. But just in those few big cities and swing states, Biden won in a landslide. So, okay then, let's look at the ballots. And if it was a miraculous showing, then you'll have something to brag about from here on out. As it is, you have Rachel Maddow saying, doesn't the Department of Justice need to stop this? And Eric Holder, for his part, possibly the most corrupt and lawless attorney general in the history of the United States, he says that the DOJ should be involved aggressively. And he knows a little something about aggressive involvement when he wanted to stop the leaks during the Obama years. Remember, in the Obama years, leaks, they didn't tolerate leaks. That was reserved for the 4 years from 2016 to 2020. But the leaks during Obama's year, He spied on reporters and editors at the Associated Press. No problem. No problem. Because we got to listen in. If we find that you're leaking, you're going to jail. That's the way Eric Holder ran the Department of Injustice during his time as the AG. Listen again to this exchange between these two last night, clip three.
All of the things that they are doing now are counterproductive, they are without basis, and they will hurt, they will harm our hard-won democracy.
But isn't there something beyond that, though? Knowing that they are hurting our democracy, knowing that they are inappropriate and unwise, as the way you described, is a criticism of them for doing it. But shouldn't there be somebody who's stopping them? It occurs to me that when Pam Karlan, who's acting as the head of the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, sent a letter to Arizona warning them that what they were doing in that fraud, as you described, was illegal, was a violation of federal law in terms of the way that ballots and voting machines are supposed to be handled, that should have been followed up with some sort of action. Otherwise, otherwise, it's essentially the case that they're flouting federal law without paying any sort of price for it.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that there are violations of federal law or the suspicions that there are violations of federal law, given the nature of what it is they're trying to do, the consequences from what they are trying to do, the Justice Department has got to be aggressive.
There he is again, aggressive. You know, the DOJ has got to get in there and stop this. It's not enough to just criticize cyber ninjas or state Republicans or the legislative process. It's happening. The states are the ones that are triggering this action, whether it's in Arizona, soon to be Georgia. But it's not enough for, in Rachel Maddow's mind, the DOJ has to go in there and forcibly stop what these states are doing. And what they're doing is their constitutional right. So let's just chuck the Constitution out of the way and send in the DOJ. And Eric Holder, for his part, says, yeah, I think the DOJ is the perfect agency to squash this. That's the way these Marxist authoritarians think. This is from Great Again. My father wrote about the former Attorney General, Eric Holder, about how he lied to Congress. He was... Well, it says here about Fast and Furious and so on. It says, as these scandals piled higher and higher, this was all under Attorney General Holder's watch, nobody could get administration officials to tell them anything. They lied and lied and lied and were caught in their lies. That administration covered itself in a cloak of deceit. In some cases, they even joked or bragged about their lies. And now here they come along as if they're the sheriff. And they know exactly what's right and wrong. And they know that this count over here needs to stop. And there shouldn't be any audits over here. It's the election officials in Detroit. It's the election officials in Fulton County that we trust. They would never cheat. They would never steal. They're not dishonest. These are perfect angels. It's the ones auditing this that are the frauds. So say these people that worked in that Antiochus administration, these people that really and truly despise America. My father said in 2012, I believe that the radical left will do almost anything to cling to power in this coming election. He was talking about the coming election in 2012 and looking at what is being revealed today, who knows what was happening in 2012 or 2008 for that matter. But what my father said there could easily apply to the months leading up to November 3rd, 2020. They'll do anything. He said, this was that 2012 piece, as far as, you know, something that's prescient and tomorrow's news today. My father said, will we see some violent racial turmoil begin at that time? You know, will we see violent racial turmoil ahead of the presidential election? Well, we certainly saw that last summer. That was the radical left's army. And they were being praised and encouraged by the talking heads on radio and television. That's right. It was fine to burn down cities, to destroy businesses, to even kill people in certain cases, to beat them up, kick them, knock them unconscious, all those things. You got to get their attention. We got to bring down the system. And that army, by the way, we've gone through this before. I mean, that was there in the Time Magazine. The Time Magazine article was bragging about the steal, using words like cabal. And the army that was ready, these protesters, as they called them, the rioters, they were ready on November 3rd. If it didn't go their way, they were ready to take to the streets again. That's the way they operate. Now, as it happens, they effectively, at least to this point, pulled off the steal of the century. With all of this massive amounts of fraud that should be so obvious to anyone that just has an open mind and is willing to examine the evidence. What does it say, though, when they don't want the evidence examined? They don't want you to even look at it. This is from Just the News. Says here, concerns from a polling manager in Georgia's Fulton County about the unusual uniformity of mail-in ballots is the basis for the court-delayed inspection effort that is expected to resume in the coming weeks. So this is regarding those 147,000 ballots, those absentee ballots, that the judge has allowed this group to examine, or these election officials and representatives from the state government and so on. And then if you remember, the Democrats, they sent in the team of lawyers trying to get this stopped. The judge delayed it for a few weeks. And so we'll see what happens in the days ahead. But listen to this. Polling manager Susie Voiles says that when counting absentee ballots for the 2020 presidential election, thousands of them, perhaps tens of thousands, for then-Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden appeared to have been photocopied. Is this worth scrutiny? Should this not be investigated? Eric Holder is a former law enforcement official. If he had a sworn affidavit saying, I think these were photocopied, I don't think these are legit, is that worth looking into? Well, in his mind, no. And same with the new Black Panthers. If they're out there threatening you on election day, so much so that you turn away and go home. Well, that's just fine. That doesn't threaten democracy. Not in his mind. Not if it gets the outcome he's desiring. Photocopied, she says. And she signed an affidavit under penalty of perjury if she's lying. And she wasn't the only one. Did you know this? There were others who signed affidavits as well. It says Voiles' observation and similar ones from at least three other poll workers prompted them to come forward and swear under penalty of perjury that the ballots looked fake. So there's four witnesses. And this is what, I forget the guy's name that Maddow and others are attacking, Garland Favorito. So this is the evidence that he's taking before a judge. And he's saying, look, judge, we've got four witnesses. Four signed affidavits. They say that what they saw looked very suspicious. Photocopied, in fact. And so the judge seemingly is prepared to allow some sort of forensic audit to go forward, at least with respect to that batch, 147,000 ballots. And how many did Biden supposedly win by? I think it was 12,000, right? 12,000? Says election watchdogs have used their affidavits to help convince a state judge to unseal all of the 147,000. Well, I got into that to some degree. It says Voiles also said she noticed that all of the ballots were printed on paper different from others that she handled as part of a statewide hand recount of the presidential election. She also said none were purportedly folded or creased, as she typically observed in mail-in ballots that had been removed from envelopes. So they were just, like Chris Krebs said about the election, they were perfect, perfect ballots. No folds, no creases, nothing. Just a nice, beautiful stack. Says here, all of them were strangely pristine. Strangely pristine. Voiles has worked for 20 years monitoring elections. 2 decades of experience. And after this past November 3rd election, she goes under the penalty of perjury, signs an affidavit saying they looked fraudulent to me, thousands of them, perhaps tens of thousands. It says the watchdogs suspect as many as tens of thousands of the ballots may have been manufactured in a race that Biden won by just 12,000 votes, in large part because of the late surge in mail-in ballots counted after election monitors were asked to leave State Farm Arena. You know, I just can't help but laugh when you just think back to the craziness of that night. Remember the water main break? They had to send the election officials, the counters home, except for the four or five that started to pull the trays out from under the table. And we found out later that the water main break was a urinal leak. Unbelievable. I mean, really, Eric Holder and Rachel Maddow, they know what happened here. They don't want this exposed. That's why they're calling for the DOJ to aggressively act, because they don't want to be exposed as the liars and the cheats that they are. It's like my father said in Great Again. They lied and they lied and they lied again. And then they brag about the lies. That's essentially what the Time Magazine article was doing. It's exactly what fake President Joe Biden said before the election. We've set up the most extensive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. He was right. He was right. He let the truth right out of the bag. The silent part. He said it out loud. They can't help themselves. Every once in a while, they reveal themselves. They reveal the truth. It says here, finally, we have what is almost surely major absentee ballot fraud in Fulton County involving 10,000 to 20,000 probably false ballots, said Garland Favorito. He's the one again. He's the boogeyman. He's the cyber ninjas of the Georgia audit that's coming up. He's the one they're going to make out to be a monster because he's trying to get to the truth. So they attack him rather than say, again, an innocent would say, bring it on. Let's look at these ballots. You're going to be humiliated again. We humiliated you on November 3rd. We're going to do it now in June of 2021. We won in a landslide. They're not saying any of those things, are they? What are they saying? You just heard what they're saying. Rachel Maddow, together with Obama's wingman, Eric Holder, calling for aggressive action from the Department of Injustice. There to, not to reveal the truth, to cover it up. All of these agencies have been weaponized. We've seen that in recent years for sure. Well, that's Georgia. Hopefully we'll see some action on that front in a couple weeks. And then in Arizona, I think they're about 80% done with the hand recount or examination in that state. Here's Drew Hernandez. He's of Real America's Voice with his update on the Arizona audit, clip four.
The audit itself here in Arizona, the hand count audit is about 80% complete. So they got maybe about a week and a half left of the hand count process of the audit. Then they got to look into the machines to make sure that there's no faulty software. They got to make sure it wasn't plugged into the internet during the election time. They also got to look at the voter registration, the addresses, to make sure that they're actually real people that actually voted from real addresses. So there's still some time left for this audit, but the hand count process of the Arizona audit is about 80% complete. So that's good news because the American people deserve an answer, Dr. Gina. I think people just want to know what happened in these controversial elections.
Yeah, people just want to know. They don't believe. They don't believe that Biden miraculously won in Philadelphia, in Atlanta, in Phoenix, in Detroit, when he lost everywhere else. All these gains for Republicans in the House, and yet somehow, the one that was out there campaigning for all those Republicans, Donald Trump, somehow he lost by millions and millions of votes. You know what else hasn't been reported as much? Last week, of course, they had this delegation from the state legislature in Pennsylvania that went out to Phoenix to the Maricopa County audit to observe the process, to see how they're doing. Because they're hearing that, look, it's tightly secured. It's done with the proper observers and so on. We're being thorough. We're being efficient. So now these other states, they're looking into how Maricopa County is doing this audit. Pennsylvania visited the arena last week that they're doing this recount in, or this forensic audit in. And there's been other delegations that have visited the arena in Phoenix from Wisconsin, from Nevada, from Georgia, from Colorado, from Virginia, from Alaska. Do you hear this on Fox News? Probably not. You probably get none of this. But and why would these state reps be making this journey to Phoenix if it was so unpopular in their state If everybody in their state said, look, it's over. It's over. It was perfect. Why do you keep bringing this up? Well, of course, those state reps are going out to Arizona because ordinary Americans, a lot of them, think exactly the way that guy with the sign in Guatemala thinks. Oh, by the way, Trump won. That's the way that so many in America think. And it's like my father has said, even a lot of Democrats know. They know. And that's why, as I said at the top, they're in full meltdown mode trying to cover up this big lie. Well, Kamala Harris, she's down there, as I say, in Guatemala. She's visiting Mexico, everywhere except for the United States southern border, where the crisis is. She refuses to go there. And then she's questioned on it, and just it's a disastrous back and forth. I don't know if I'll have time to get to it all. But first, listen to Lester Holt's report on the border crisis. He's got a reporter, Gabe Gutierrez, that's there at the border where Kamala should be. She's in charge of this disaster. But she's going everywhere talking about root causes, and she won't go to the place where it's just a complete disaster zone. Here's Lester Holt from NBC News, clip 5.
Tired, hungry, terrified. These are the moments they finally reach U.S. soil. This woman from Guatemala tells us gangs threatened to kill her and rape her young daughters.
Whether you call it a crisis or not, it is a nightly ritual. Smugglers bringing rafts full of mostly women and children right to this spot. We've been here before, and overnight it happens every few minutes.
Migrants pay smugglers thousands of dollars to make the grueling journey. Discarded wristbands, a sign of which migrants paid the fee. There are now more than 17,000 unaccompanied children in U.S. government custody. The Texas Department of Public Safety tells us the surge has been nonstop.
It's very dangerous. I mean, you can see how hot it is. So the humidity, it's going to continue to increase.
Some families taking a drastic step, choosing to separate, sending their children alone over the border because they know the Biden administration will let them stay.
They know the Biden administration will let them stay. That's NBC. That's NBC News saying the reason that parents are parting with their children is because they know the Biden administration will let the children stay. And then hopefully the parents can come along later and join together with their kids. But right now, as it is, 17,000 children in U.S. custody. When this was brought up at the early part of Trump's administration, his presidency, I mean, it was concentration camps, cages. He's Hitler. And where is the media today? At best, you get Lester Holt, I mean, even as he has I don't even think you could call it a confrontation. He just basically lobs the softball into Kamala Harris, and even then, it's a complete whiff. This is friendly territory for the fake Biden administration. NBC, Lester Holt. And yet, even there, listen to Lester Holt, and then you have the Guatemalan president quoted in this next soundbite, this next segment as well, clip 6.
When President Biden relaxed U.S. border policy, he says the administration sent out a more welcoming message.
The talk that they were going to allow family reunification made the coyotes take a lot of children towards the border of the United States.
The U.S. Border Patrol apprehended nearly 180,000 migrants trying to cross the border in April, the highest number in 20 years.
Highest number in 20 years, and the initial reports coming out now for May, we're going to get that count here anytime. Another 180,000 or so. Yeah, it's about the same as April. 100. These are the ones apprehended. We don't know about the ones that make it through without incident. 180,000. And you've got the Guatemalan president there saying, yeah, well, once they heard Biden talking about this and this and this, the coyotes got busy. I mean, this is great for business. That, as I say, that's coming from friendly territory. As far as the Biden administration is concerned, this is their home territory, NBC. So here's Lester Holt. He's sitting down. I guess he's traveling with Kamala Harris down to Latin America. He sits down with her, and then he asks her what everyone else has been wondering. Well, why aren't you going to the border? Why, you're in charge of this, so why aren't you at least visiting America's southern border? Here's how that went, clip 7.
Americans don't see a lot of that on a daily basis. What they do see at their own border, children being lowered over fences, children coming in with, you know, phone numbers stenciled on their hand.
Yeah.
And so the question has come up, and you heard it here, and you'll hear it again, I'm sure. It's why not visit the border? Why not see what Americans are seeing in this crisis?
Well, we are going to the border. We have to deal with what's happening at the border. There's no question about that. That's not a debatable point. But we have to understand that there's a reason people are arriving at our border and ask what is that reason and then identify the problem so we can fix it.
Just quickly.
We are at the border, she says, or we have gone to the border. It's not long. It's not I. It's we. We've got people over there. I mean, I don't need to. I don't need to go in there. And then it continued. To his credit, he at least persisted a little bit. This is clip 8.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
When you ask about are you going to the border, I'm not quite sure what point you're trying to make, she says. Well, you personally haven't gone to the border. Well, I mean, I haven't gone to Europe either. And as I say, I mean, these are as a softball pitch could be. And there she is going back and forth. She had another run-in with a reporter saying, look, I'm in Guatemala right now. Let's focus on Guatemala. There's just no response, no answer. Because what they are fine with is that, as I covered yesterday, is just a massive invasion. These are future Democrat voters. Although when you look at the Latino population in the Rio Grande, in Fort Worth, in Arlington, Texas, these are people who are voting in Republican mayors. These are Latino communities, a lot of them, voting in Republican mayors. The United States, as you know, if you followed this show for any length of time, it's under attack. America under attack. And so they talk. That's all that it is. They talk about root causes, and really when they get to that, they're going toward climate change. So we've got to go. The root cause is what's happening in Guatemala. The root cause is what's happening in Nicaragua. So the United States has to go and bail out another country in another problem. And meanwhile, you've got the president of Guatemala himself saying, look, you're causing this. He doesn't want to see all of his people leave. But you're causing this with these wide open border policies. And then even when a friendly reporter asks, well, why won't you visit it? There she is playing dumb. Like, well, what do you mean? I don't understand what you're getting at. We have visited it. That's a fake vice president that's looking pretty bad. It's her first trip abroad, her first foreign visit, and it's just, it's turning out to be a complete and total disaster. But going back to the attack, as I said, and I've given you this quote already this week twice, the situation in America and Britain is worse than most think. And then my father goes through, this is from his article last November, he goes through all of these areas that the United States is being attacked from within, the coronavirus, the any means possible, the news media, but even the media, that's what's amazing to me. Even NBC has to look at these people streaming across the border, some of them having been raped, some of them dying in the desert, children being dropped from the top of fences, children being dropped off alone. Even NBC, they're not coming with the rhetoric that they had in 2017, not by a long shot, but even they are looking at this saying, is anyone in the Biden administration going to actually slow this down a bit or deal with the problem? Evidently not. When we come back, we're going to continue with our study through the prophet Isaiah's writings. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, send us an email. You can always write us at td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget the 800 number if you'd like to request the Trumpet magazine, for example, to become a subscriber to this this free magazine that we, you know, and you say free and you think it's just a pamphlet that we put together quickly, but we've got a large staff working on this magazine every single month, and it really and truly does give you tomorrow's news today. Subscribe today to The Trumpet. Call our operators 1-866-930-3024. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
The name Lucifer, as I covered on this program earlier this week, that name means light bringer. God meant for this brilliant being to bring light to this earth and to all the universe, in fact. But as we well know, and Isaiah covers this, the prophet Ezekiel writes of it as well, he turned to lawlessness, rebellion, and brought spiritual darkness to the whole earth. The light bringer, he turned to darkness and sin. I concluded yesterday's show with Isaiah 8 and verse 20, where it says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they don't speak according to this word, according to God's revealed truth, according to the Holy Bible, inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16, it's because there's no light in them. God wants to bring light to this earth. Jesus came into this earth. He came to this world as a light bringer. He brought light to this very dark world, but as John 3 brings out, men love darkness. That's just the way we are. That says something about our human nature. It also says something about the real God of this world. The great creator God, he's maintained, for the most part, a hands-off policy, except with respect to his work, his church, his family, and its work here on earth. But with respect to the whole world, well, Revelation 12 and verse 9 applies. Satan has deceived the whole world. This prince of darkness, he's deceived the whole world, and the world doesn't know it. Well, they're deceived. A deceived person doesn't know he's deceived. The world doesn't know it's in darkness spiritually, but it is. And Jesus said, judge by fruits. So we bring some of those fruits to you every day on this program, and you see it. You know something's wrong. Something's wrong with this world. Why is it just haywire? Why is it just off the rails? Why is there so much craziness? Why is there so much evil and filth? Why so much unhappiness and misery? Well, it's because there's no light. There's no spiritual light. There's just a lot of darkness. Notice what it says in Isaiah 60. Just to bounce around a little bit, verse 1, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Eternal is risen upon you." Verse 3 says, "And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." It says, "The sun," verse 3 says, "the sun," or actually this is down in verse 20. 19, it says, "The sun shall be no more your light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto you, but the Eternal shall be unto you an everlasting light, and your God," it says, "your glory." So when God's kingdom is set up on this earth, I mean, it's just going to bring light and brightness to all the activities on earth, to all that we're involved in. David, of course, well, it was Jeremiah, but he was paraphrasing and quoting in some respects what David said about the law of God being a lamp unto our feet. Notice this verse in Isaiah 49. This is verse 6. It says, "And he said, it is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel." It says, "And I will give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth." See, God always meant for the people of Israel to be an example nation, an example to the Gentile nations. And they will be in the world tomorrow. As God says there, I'll use you to give light to the Gentile people. Finally, that's what God has always wanted, for his way, for his law to be illuminated on this earth, for it to be showcased in the example of his people Israel. Isaiah 50, verse 10, notice this. It says, "Who is among you that fears the Eternal, that obeys the voice of his servant, and walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Eternal and stay upon his God. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled." It says, "This shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow," it says. Yesterday I talked about how talent and ability, it has its place. My father said this in his booklet, the Ezekiel booklet, Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet. You can call that 800 number to get a free copy. But he says that talent and ability has its place, but it takes a back seat when it comes to illuminating this way of life. Of course, God wants us to use our talents and abilities, but if it's not to bring glory to him and to his law, well, what's the point? What's the point? It's just a vain exercise otherwise. So coming back to this example, Lucifer from Isaiah 14, I mean, you talk about talent and ability. He had it all. He had it all. Verse 12 of Isaiah 14 says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" How did it happen? We covered this yesterday. It happened because he said in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." That's how it happened. He became filled with vanity. It all started with a bad attitude and it spread. It led to this blatant, outright rebellion, this attack on God himself, this war in heaven. And sadly, a third of the angels went along with him and turned to darkness and became demons. Here's what Herbert Armstrong said in The Incredible Human Potential. It says, "And then even after Lucifer himself made the decision to rebel and try to invade God's heaven, to take over the universe, it is not revealed how long it took him to persuade all of the angels under him to turn traitor and follow him. Mr. Armstrong speculated that it could have taken millions of years. And he says, I don't know how long it took, but I know how it happened. It's like the bad apple in a crate. If you don't get rid of it, it spreads to eventually you've got a crate full of rotten apples. And so that lawless attitude and spirit, it spread among the angels. And as I say, those angels became disloyal and rebellious as well. They became demons. I will be like the Most High, it says in verse 14. And God says, you shall be brought down to hell or the pit, to the sides of the pit. So what's the lesson that we can take away from this? You see all of these scriptures about God bringing light to this earth and how that Lucifer himself was a light bringer. Jesus brought light to this earth. But look at man's track record. Look at what we did to Jesus Christ. Look at what Lucifer did to himself and to a third of the angels. He wasn't satisfied with what God had given him. And the thing of it is, God wanted to give him everything. This earth was to be a training ground for him to then go on out and to administer the government of God over all the universe. Or at least I would imagine a large chunk of it. So he was taught at the throne room of God. He was put on special assignment right here on this earth. But as we just read, he said in his heart, at one point he said, I want to be above God. And so certainly a big takeaway here is that we want to be satisfied and content with what God gives to us. And look, if we stay the course, God's going to give us jurisdiction over the universe. That's discussed in the end of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong's masterpiece. He wants to give us everything, but right now, just like Jesus said, I mean, he who's faithful in a little, he who's faithful in the least, he's going to be able to be faithful and handle much, much more. But so many people give up on God and they turn away from him because they're just not satisfied with what God has given. And of course, Jesus said it's the straight and narrow way. I mean, it is difficult. It's a challenge to be a Christian in this evil world. But the joy that God will fill our hearts with, if we're faithful, if we're obedient, if we're submissive to his government, and then the responsibilities and the opportunities that he gives to us later, in some cases, that he gives to us right now. It's a tremendous responsibility and opportunity just to bring up children in your home and to teach them in the ways of God, to teach them in the way that they should go, like the Bible says. That's a wonderful blessing, a great joy when it's done God's way. A lot of people, though, they're just not content with what God has given them. They find things to complain about. They find things to criticize. God wants to fill our hearts with light, with the light of the gospel, the joy of the coming kingdom of God. You can study more on that subject, as I said earlier. I didn't bring it with me, but Mystery of the Ages. Call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024, and understand about the mystery of the kingdom of God. That's the gospel that Jesus brought to this earth, and people don't know this. They believe in a gospel about Christ and really know nothing about the message that he brought. That message was the truth about the soon coming kingdom of God. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to submit feedback. Email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.